In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. I was a skinny little kid, all limbs, knobbly elbows, knobbly knees, gangly, not particularly coordinated. So when it came to gym class, I was usually among the last chosen. The top spots went to the best athletes and the most popular, and I was neither. It didn't matter if it was basketball or kickball or dodgeball or soccer. I was always among the last chosen. But one time we had relay races, and you might not have known it from looking at me, but I could run real fast. And when I beat the most popular and the most athletic in my leg of the relay races, people noticed. I didn't know they noticed, but they did. And as we went through the rotation of basketball and kickball and dodgeball and soccer, I still got chosen among the last. But the next time relay races came up, the kid who was first pick, he pointed right at me, didn't even know my name. He pointed right at me and he said, "I choose you." He chose the scrawniest, gangliest, most uncoordinated, and least popular kid first. Which means I suddenly had an important job to do. I was expected to do something great for my relay team. Now today in the church is a little feast day called the Conception of St. John the Baptist. St. John's parents, Zechariah and Elizabeth. Zechariah was the priest. Zechariah and Elizabeth were unable to have children their whole marriage, and by this point they were very old, very advanced in years. And so Zechariah goes into the temple when it was his turn to burn incense in the holy place. And Gabriel, the archangel, comes to him and with a message from God saying that your wife Elizabeth will conceive and bear a son, and that this child will be the prophet of the Messiah who is coming. Now Zechariah can't believe his ears. He says, "How can I believe this?" And so Gabriel gives him a sign, which is that he will be mute until the day the child is born. And so he goes out, and sure enough, Elizabeth conceives John the Baptist. Now to be childless in those days was seen as a curse, that you were hiding a pretty big sin, or that somehow you had found disfavor with God himself. That's at least how they saw it. And here it was the priest and his wife who were childless. How embarrassing. How humiliating. But on this day, some 2018 years ago, God came to this old, cursed, humiliated, whispered about couple, and through his angel said, "I choose you. I choose you." And isn't this the way of God so many times? His "I choose you" comes to the least expected person at the least expected moment. And it meant that suddenly they had an important job to do, that they were expected to do something great. Now think of some of God's "I choose yous." Abraham and Sarah were pushing 100 years old when God chose them to move to a new land and begin building a nation. Moses was a wanted fugitive, not to mention he had a speech impediment, when God chose him. David was the scrawniest of all his brothers when he defeated Goliath. And when God chose him to be king, he was a murderer and an adulterer, not necessarily in that order. Ruth was a foreign immigrant. Esther was an orphan. Matthew was a tax collecting crook. Martha was a complainer. Peter was a denier. Zacchaeus was short. And Lazarus was dead. That's when God said, "I choose you." To each one of them, God said, "I choose you. And you will do something great." It should make us wonder, what is the Lord saying that to you about? I choose you. I choose you for what? With God, there is no too old, too young, too bad, too weak, or too scrawny. Because, brothers and sisters, you are and will be chosen. Even St. John the Baptist himself, who at this point was still an infant in the womb of his mother, suddenly has an important job to do. If you read into the next chapter of Luke, you'll see that when Mary, who is pregnant with Jesus, comes to visit Elizabeth, who is pregnant with John, it says John leaps for joy in Elizabeth's womb. Now, Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant by that point. She knows the difference between normal flutters and kicks and a leap for joy. And she calls this a leap for joy. John is still in the womb, and he's already announcing and pointing to the coming of Jesus Christ. When it comes to God saying, I choose you, there's a really, really important verse in today's gospel. Gabriel says to Zechariah about John, Gabriel says, he will be great in the sight of the Lord. Archangel Gabriel says of John, he will be great in the sight of the Lord. When God says, I choose you, it is for something great in his sight. It is irrelevant what the world thinks. It is irrelevant what the world wants. It is irrelevant what the world expects of you, and it is irrelevant what the world considers great. And I'm sorry to have to inform you, it is also irrelevant what you want. And it is irrelevant what you think is great, and it is irrelevant what you expect. When God says, I choose you, it is to do something great in his sight. And it might seem tiny to the world, or it might seem impossible to you. But you will find, if you're listening, and you will find, if you respond, that by doing what is great in his sight, you will discover what truly makes you whole in his sight, and what truly makes you joy-filled in this world. Now, when I was a skinny little kid, at the time, I'd have much rather been good at kickball than relay races, because kickball was the popular sport. And if you wanted to be popular, you got good at the popular sport. Relay races were way down the list. But it wasn't to be. I was chosen for relay races. Zechariah and Elizabeth, they might have wanted a large family at a normal stage of life, but it wasn't to be. What was to be is that God chose them for something great for him. And when we do something great in his sight, that's what makes all the difference. Amen.